The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Celebrating 10 years on the air. Phone lines here are 605-4567. Today is the 12th of December, 7:05 in the morning. News brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion, and community. We've got Sue, of course, at the helm. Good morning, Sue.
Good morning, Carl.
And Trish Clark is back.
Good morning.
And Trish has the weather.
I do. And it's about 52 degrees in downtown Reading as we speak. We're looking for a high today of 60. South winds 3 to 6 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation is 80%. So we're going to have rain. Tonight, we're looking at most rain likely. Cloudy with a low around 49. And on Friday, rain likely. Cloudy with a high near 57. And a low Friday night of 41. Looks like the rain is going to stick with us through Saturday, a 40% chance of rain, mainly after 10 p.m. Saturday night, and a high of 56, a low of 36 on Saturday night, and a 30% chance of rain. On Sunday, mostly sunny with a high near 56, cloudy with a low around 35. Monday, mostly sunny with a high near 56 and a low of 38. The weather, as always, is brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends. They're locally owned and operated. They give veterans and senior discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793.
Okay. Hey, I'd like to make an announcement here that Gavin Clark of Jackson, Florida, grandson of former
Jackson,
chef.
Jackson, California.
What did I say, Florida?
Yeah.
California. Grandson of former Shasta County Supervisor Trish Clark won the world championship in the 35,000 non-pro division and world final show championship at the National Cutting Horse Association World Finals in Fort Worth, Texas, on his mare, Ruby's CD Legacy. And you bought him his. I remember that you buying him his first horse.
His first horse, not Ruby, but Miss Exclamation Mark.
Yeah, and he's just ripped through the. I mean, he has gone in 2 years and has become the world champion.
He just is. The announcer said, "If there is such a thing as a natural born cattle cutter, you're looking at him. Watch this kid's name."
Okay. Yeah. Well, congratulations.
Yeah,
that's
it was
where
fun.
You were last week.
I was indeed. That's a great proud grandma moment. Loved being there.
We have Julie Winter with us this morning. She's over there. Surprise.
Good morning.
Good morning. Here, let me adjust that. Are you sitting down? Okay. Then you should be okay there. Okay. Hey, before we get with Julie, I want to remind everybody about Reads Across America. It's going to be this Saturday at 12 p.m. at the Northern California Veterans Cemetery at IGO. This is where they have a short ceremony, and then we put Reads on over 4,000 grave sites there, and it's if you've never seen it, it is you need to get out there, get your kids out, get your grandkids out. You go out, and you get to put wreaths out on these on the markers for all of our veterans that are out there. It's beautiful.
Inspirational time this time of year, specifically to help actually place those wreaths.
Yeah.
And it's only a 40% chance of rain on Saturday, so.
Wear a raincoat,
toughen up, and go out there and help put those wreaths up.
Cowboy up.
there you go.
Sue, did you read something in the news today about Reading being one of the, something about homelessness?
Yes.
Okay, it's like we're in there with the United States, the federal government, the whole state of Texas.
The National Law Center for Homelessness and Poverty named Reading in their hall of shame due to the city's homeless policies. Other places, Sacramento, Wilmington, Delaware, Kansas City, Missouri, the state of Texas, and the government.
And who is this that did that?
It's just an organization.
It's just some organization made up of two people. They didn't mention San Francisco, Oakland, San Diego, and all these.
That's because their policies are more to the liking of the liberal bend of society.
Julie Winter is with us, city councilwoman. And Julie... got a whole lot of attention. This is what
happens. Speaking of homelessness.
This is when you go on NPR there. NPR, National Public Radio. This is where my taxes go to help float a business right away.
Well, I did that one on my own dime, for sure.
Okay, so a lot of consternation about this.
Yes.
And it, you know, things that you wanted to, if I'm just going to paraphrase stuff.
Sure.
That's
what they did too.
Huh? That's what they did too. Take it out of context too. Go for it.
That you were going. Well, no. This is why I invited you on. Is that when it came out and got everybody fired up? Was the you wanted to lock up homeless, put them in conservatorships? That was kind of the gist of it. I mean, all the other things that happened during the conversation didn't make it out, but those two did. You wanted to take their money after you had them locked up. So I can't – what happened?
So, you know, the conversation really was – I was speaking about the chronically homeless. It's so important to differentiate the population. There's lots of different types of homeless. We have about 3,000 homeless in our community, and the vast majority of these you don't see. They are being helped. They are assisted. They are rotating out of homelessness, the Good News Rescue Mission, county services. But there's about 300 or so that are chronically homeless. Those are the folks that are have been homeless for several years. They have resisted housing. They have failed housing attempts. Almost all of them have a serious mental illness and or a drug addiction or some other type of disability. These are people who really, for the most, and also mixed in there are people who really should be in jail. They've been kicked out of our jail. There's not place for them in the jail. And there's criminal activity that happens in the camp as well. So you have this small group of people that are creating most of the problem on our street. There's about 300 on our streets and our waterways.
About 300, not 3,000.
No, there's 3,000 homeless, but it's the 300 chronically homeless. So I was speaking about that resistant population that is, you offer them housing, you offer them services, you try to connect them, and they refuse it, they decline it, they can't stay in it because of their mental illness and their addiction.
Well, this,
we need a different strategy for that group because what we're doing is not working.
Well, then this, I'm just reading about one of the solutions that Oakland's coming with that I'd like to bring up later, but they're saying they had a 47% jump in 2 years. If they're using federal guidelines, showed Oakland has only 4,000 homeless. How can we have 3,000
homeless?
Maybe
that's the 4,000 chronically.
Yeah, that may be their chronic. That may be their chronic homeless. So in our point,
up from 2,700 in 2017. So
yeah, our point of time count is really right around 1,100 homeless. So if you actually go, the actual data we have is about 1,100. But there are people in the community that work in that community that estimate that there's probably more than that. That those are people.
So
that
our
we
count,
missed.
Though, is only,
it's
about 1,100.
It's about 1,100.
So 3,000 is pulled out.
It's
of
just
what?
A guess.
It's a wild ass guess.
Then. It's a guess.
Is
yeah.
people living in cars, living on people's
yeah, couch,
room couches?
Couch surfing. And, yeah,
but okay. Those are the part of the 1,100. I mean, there may be others out there, but. Before we throw out the number 3,000, I'd like
right.
to see some hard statistics, which we don't have.
We don't have.
We have statistics about 1,100.
We do.
Okay.
We do. And
I
we
think
know
that's important.
And that is important. And about a third of those are those chronic.
And a third of that. Right. Okay, so those 1,100 could be the ones that are living with their folks or going to a motel mm-hmm. and all this. But then you've got the 300 that are out there. They are not going to shelters. They are out there
right.
running their own lives.
Right, right. Creating the habit.
Many of them mentally... Many,
yeah.
many of them mentally impaired.
Ill.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So we have to get the ground rules and make it clear.
And I think that's important because, you know, we closed our mental health hospitals many years ago, kicked those people out onto the streets. And a lot of what you're seeing, you have a lot of schizophrenic, severe mental illness. These are people who don't have competency, who cannot. Now, you can give them free meds, but they're not going to take their medications. They're not in their right mind to be able to do that. So they need help. They need conservatorship. They need to be in some kind of assisted living, some kind of residential care where there's oversight for them because they don't have the mental competency to care for themselves.
But they can't be forced into it. Though, right?
Well, that's what the law needs to change.
Okay.
Before they were, we had mental health places where we would put those people. So we need something different than what we're doing because it isn't kind either to leave the severely mentally ill on the street and they can't care for themselves. They're dying out on the street. So are the heroin addicts. We used to have those addicted offender programs, you know, before Prop 47, and we had a stick. If you didn't get substance abuse treatment, you didn't get clean, then you went to jail. And we had a great program with our courts that was just really helped a lot of people get off drugs. Now we don't have that. So you use heroin, we just let you. We let you use heroin. We let you, you know, steal from people, stay on the streets, use your heroin until you die. And you will die unless we intervene.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and our sponsor is kind of cool. It's the sponsor is Shasta Regional Medical Center. Because Shasta Regional Medical Center started a program where they have 21 beds that these 5150s, people that are severely dangerous to themselves or dangerous to others, are admitted into the hospital for over up to 72 hours, at which time they do stabilize them and get them back on some kind of med treatment. This is the only hospital around here that does that. But there's other organizations, too, that will take them in, but that's all kind of like voluntary. The 5150s are brought in there because of just that. They are dangerous. They're arrested, and they're brought into Shasta Regional Medical Center. This is just one of the many things that Shasta Regional Medical Center does to try and help our community. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Julie Winter. Julie, so you're saying is that we've got to change the law so we can take
yes.
these people into custody.
That was the purpose of declaring a state of emergency, like to take it up to a higher level, because to fix this at the local level, it's beyond the capacity of local government to fix this, because much of it has been caused by actions of the state. We need the state to step up and change some things at the legislative level.
Okay. 7:16 here in the morning. It's about 50 degrees. It's going to be raining today. In fact, it's raining right now. We'll be right back after these messages. Carl Bott, Trish Clark. This is Free Fire Radio.
Get your morning update with us, Armstrong and Getty, 9 to 12 on KCNR.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
If you're looking for the accountability of a personal trainer, the energy and camaraderie of a group, and a budget-conscious price tag, then our team training at Addison's Peak Performance is for you. We've got your fitness needs covered with five types of time-efficient, 30-minute team training workouts. Mix and combine these challenging strength and conditioning sessions to enhance sports performance, build muscle, burn fat, and sculpt the body you've been dreaming of. AddisonsPeakPerformance.com or call us at 221-8006.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living, and wanted to share some thoughts from Dave Setholter about his experience having his mother-in-law, Mary Ann, move here to River Commons.
Originally, my mother-in-law wanted to live on her own, and she really wanted to be independent. River Commons has really made that possible for her to not only remain independent, but to actually grow and to thrive. There's just such a big difference in her peace of mind and her well-being, and that's what we really wanted. It's really been the solution for her to come here, and it was her idea after looking at some other options. When she came here, it was an easy choice for her. She's really happy she did. She feels like she's home. It's enriching. She's meeting new people, really enjoying herself, and that's really what it's all about.
Call today and schedule a tour or lunch in a tour and see for yourself why our residents love living here at River Commons. Call 221-2121 or on the web at river-commons.com.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now, and a lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvie with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
Celebrating 20 years in business, Five Star Bank is a community business bank serving small to medium-sized businesses and is a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Five Star Bank was founded in 1999 by a group of local entrepreneurs who wanted to create personalized banking services inspired by shared vision and goals. Today, Five Star Bank is among the top 5% of performing banks in the nation for banks of its size. Five Star Bank proudly serves farmers, ranchers, and growers in the agricultural community, commercial real estate developers and construction, those who lead nonprofits and churches, and entrepreneurs in emerging technology. Five Star Bank is also committed to small businesses through a robust SBA department. They understand that when it comes to business, timing is critical. Their sense of urgency and speed to serve are part of the foundation of their success. Visit fivestarbank.com and visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Redding. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Hear us streaming 24/7 at KCNR1460.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. 605-4567 is our phone number. Julie Winter is our guest today at this portion of the show, brought to you by River Commons Senior Living. You know, when you think about a little cruise ship, which Oakland is thinking of right now, you think of River Commons, gourmet chef, activity directors, all these great things to do, a great place to kind of, you know, you have all your stuff there, and then you spike out and go to all these different great, you know, you go on vacations, you go on places. They're pet friendly. They've got it all right there. Frankly, if you're tired of taking care of everything around your house, take a look at River Commons Senior Living. Give Brian a call at 238-5981 for a personalized tour. Worry less, smile more. River Commons Senior Living. Trish and I are here with Julie Winter, who was a firestorm when she her idea is, if I'm getting this right, is we have people that are mentally unable to take care of themselves, then we need as a society to take care of them. If I understand this,
right.
I'm not talking
correct.
About just the criminal ones. You're talking about ones that are mentally unable to take care of themselves. And at that point, society should step in, do a conservatorship, ex parte conservatorship, that you can then house them.
Correct.
And that
correct.
They then have all that their rights taken away.
Well, they have the rights to get better and to appeal that. They get stabilized, they could appeal that. But until they have some kind of self-sufficiency and can care for themselves in a safe manner, then there needs to be some type of oversight, because that's kindness. That to me, that is kind. Leaving them on the streets is not kind.
I understand your concept of this, but I just went through a conservatorship with people that were trying to do a conservatorship. And the amount of people that get involved in this is just remarkable. Public defender, that people have to make sure that person is, you know, besides having a doctor say that they cannot take care of themselves, you've got to have somebody from the county go out there and check on what the doctor says. Because as the judge said, they're losing all their rights right now. When I grant this, from now on, the state, in this case it was his wife, but now you're saying the state is now taking over everything for this person, from clothing to food to medical.
And, okay, and so is it better than to leave that mentally ill schizophrenic who has not even in their right mind out on the streets, unable to care for themselves? What is kinder?
Well, I'm not arguing that. I'm just saying is that people need to understand.
It's not a simple process.
It's not
it's
a simple
very complicated bureaucratic involvement.
I agree.
It took us months to do this. But then again, if we had, I guess it would be the district attorney doing this.
Right.
And then the public defender being involved in this. So... Where would we put them?
Or you look at reopening our mental health facilities where people can go and get stabilized for a period of time, 90 days, and if they're able to get out and make it on their own, fine. But if they are continuing to recycle and they cannot care for themselves, they need some type of assistance. And that may be a small amount of assistance for some people. That may be more serious inpatient psychiatric care for others who are a danger to themselves
Reopening of the mental facilities is not going to happen. That's just simply not going
to
happen.
You're
because
to
of all
state
the
run?
Well, this is county run, but it was state money and it was county, and that isn't going to happen. The liabilities involved, the monies that didn't come down to fund that, the inability to have the other medical facilities available for those people, it was a liability that counties shouldn't have had to begin with and are not ever going to take back.
But there still needs to be some type. There needs to be something, though, that was a fail-safe place where you could take the mentally ill and they could be stabilized. So whether it's county-run, state-run, all I'm saying is that when we lost that, we lost a powerful tool.
What about the is jail a place to put somebody like this?
Well, you know, jail is a place for people who are committing crime. I mean, you could temporarily stabilize place, but stabilize somebody, but jail is not a good place to recover from mental illness.
Even though there's many people that are in jail that are
mentally ill, that's not a good place to get better.
Okay, so this should be a separate. Yeah. Well, now I just saw they're breaking ground on this new place here in town. The Hill Country
mm-hmm.
is building mm-hmm. a new place here.
Right.
You know, the fact is having the large heart that you have and a lot of people have. I understand what you're saying here. I just am trying to get my arms around the cost, the mechanics of it. Again, we're not talking thousands. We're talking maybe, hundreds
mm-hmm.
of people mm-hmm. That are out there like that?
Yeah, we have. Well, like I said, we have about 300 chronically homeless. Some
those
of those
chronically
are
homeless.
Yeah. But they're not all mentally ill, and a lot of them are drug addicted, and a lot of them just like the lifestyle, and they're not going to change it.
If somebody's hopelessly addicted to drugs, wouldn't that be somebody you would put them in there?
I consider drug addiction a mental illness, so yes, I would say so. Many of those patients need medical assistance. Medically assisted treatment. So we're looking at drug addiction quite a bit differently. Certainly, if you're not mentally ill, before you start using drugs, it does cause mental health problems. So, yes, we need people to get into mandated drug addiction programs and have that opportunity to get sober.
Well, in that case, when they're doing things like drugs, which is against the law, mm-hmm. then they go into jail. Then I think that was part of the program was if they're arrested for things that are related to drugs, either
right.
theft or that, then
right.
they go to jail because that's a crime.
Right. But then we removed that with the recent, was it Prop 47? We removed that where they couldn't go. So now it's not being prosecuted. Our DA doesn't prosecute jail.
So if we were to go back to the system that was proposed by the police chief down in the city of Anderson,
yeah.
where in fact you had that stick where you could pick those
yes.
people up, arrest them for the
right.
crime that they've committed based on mental health and or drugs. They go through a process. They can either stay in jail for 30 days, which would obviously
right.
clean them up if we ran our jails appropriately, and they didn't have access to drugs and what have you. Or they could choose to go into a program.
Right.
And if they stayed in the program and were helped and assisted, then they would be housed and put in and then go through the steps to get back into society. That's a possibility that if, in fact, the county and the cities were to get together and approach that system, they could, in fact,
yes.
solve the problem
without changes in law. Yeah. That
ability is already there.
Yeah, you just don't. We've lost that stick to say
right.
if you don't quit using, you're going to go to jail. We lost that stick because of some legal changes. So the state needs to change that. Right now, it's not being prosecuted.
Okay, the letter that you all sent to the governor, Newsom, said that we were looking for a state of emergency to be declared,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
with that, then the release of funds to come down so we could start providing housing mm-hmm. and all these things. Is that correct?
So that was part of it. State of emergency, and I'll say I didn't come up with this idea on my own. I was researching some articles. Some other cities have been requesting the same thing of the governor, because we're really looking at some action at high level at the state where we could address some of these things legislatively, like overturning some of these propositions that would put a little bit more teeth in the law so we could get people into drug treatment. We need some real world situation for dealing with a severely mentally ill who don't want treatment. So those are things that need to happen at the state level, and also to reduce some of the barriers for building housing. It's difficult, it's expensive to build housing, so being able to reduce some of those barriers to make building housing quicker and a little bit cheaper, because it's difficult to do that in the state of California.
I know you have to be at you work for a living.
Yeah, I've got somebody at 8 o'clock. I've got a little bit of time.
I know we got you for probably another 15 minutes. Your office is right down here, so we're going to take a quick break. This portion of the show brought to you by Maximal Insurance and Financial. You're looking for a good insurance plan, which is what the city is looking for people, is maybe you should talk to Judy. Judy Maxwell, she'd probably come up with something and say, well, I think we can work this out, because she's a veritable wizard when it comes to insurance and things that you need financially to keep you ready to continue on in your life the way it is. Maxwell Insurance Financial, been in the business since 1993, located at 1378 Hilltop Drive. Give her a call at 221-0441, Maximal Insurance and Financial. Trish Clark and I will be right back with Julie Winter, the Reading City Councilwoman.
Weather and a whole new to-do list for homeowners. Absolute Chimney and Duct Cleaning offers high-quality power cleanings with video inspection on all chimney, dryer vent, and duct cleanings. Absolute Chimney and Duct Cleaning provides professional high-end service at a mid-range price. And as we enter the holiday season, we would like to give a special thank you to our veterans and active duty military for your dedicated service. Call Absolute Chimney and Duct Cleaning at 921-4237. That's 921-4237.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
This is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program, Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 AM with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Our title sponsor for North State Now is the Reading Civic Auditorium. The Reading Civic Auditorium brings a wide variety of shows to the North State. Go to readingcivic.com and join their mailing list for free. Get early access to tickets and first dibs on the best seats in the house. Grab a drink with friends at the fully stocked bar or locally roasted coffee. Snacks and other beverages at the River Rock Cafe. If you want to know about the best concerts coming to the North State, go to readingcivic.com to learn more.
And now, back to our show.
Welcome back to P5 Radio in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio, celebrating 10 years on the air. Phone lines here, 605-4567 on the 12th of December, 50 degrees out there. It's going to rain today and tomorrow and Saturday. It starts to clear up Saturday and maybe Sunday we might actually have a good day. This portion of the show brought to you by Home Helpers and the other part of the Clark family, Sharon Clark. If you're looking for help 2 hours a day or 24 hours a day, if you're looking for people that are quality that come into your home to help you and your family, call Sharon Clark. Learn more at readinghomehelpers.com and give her a call at 226-8350. Your schedules are based around what your loved ones or you need, not what Sharon Clark needs. I thoroughly recommend Sharon if you need some help like this. Trish Clark and I are here with Julie Winters, and who is Reading City Councilwoman, who wants to take away all the rights of those with mental illnesses pay for everything that they – no, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. That was –
oh, goodness God.
Yeah, that's last time Julie comes on. No, no.
Well, that was certainly the way some of the people at the
that's
state
what,
council
that's
council
what it was
portrayed.
That's what it was portrayed
yeah.
as, but that's not
taking my
what we're looking for here is the plan you have, if I can paraphrase it and tell me if I'm wrong, temporary housing, get these people off the streets, start getting them, and we're talking about the mentally ill. We're not talking to chronic criminals out there. We have a jail for that.
The jail for that, yep.
But this is to get the chronically ill, mentally ill off the streets, get them into some kind of beginning shelter that they can start getting help in.
Right.
And if they don't want to because they're mentally ill, at that point you can take a look at making it a conservatorship. So they don't have a choice.
Yeah. Or maybe there's something
in between the total
conservatorship and the just letting them do what they want. Some kind of an apparatus that we could all get together and think about where we could, in fact, mandate and make them get some kind of treatment, at least get them to the point where they're cognizant enough to make a decision about their future.
Right.
And the other thing you have to recognize, Julie, is that we have had those in our society from the beginning who are going to do what they're going to do. They used to call them hobos. They traveled across the United States in camps around the trains and what have you. We've always had that population on our streets who are not going to live by the rules the rest of us set up.
That's true, but what we have done, I think, we're certainly seeing an increase in that, and unfortunately we are allowing it to be kind of normalized, sanctioned, assisted, helped, give them stuff.
And
that is not the answer, because now we're growing it, we're multiplying what we don't want.
And the criticism that you're receiving, if I might say, is basically from that population
right.
who believes we can solve all of these problems by giving them stuff. That isn't the answer.
Since the answer is not giving them stuff, and why don't you start putting a permit fee on places that just keep handing out stuff?
That's great. That's a great
idea.
Well,
that's been brought up 1,000 times, but nothing ever happens. You know, the fact is putting up a shelter for everybody has been proven in many places in the United States. That doesn't work. All that does is bring another 400 or 500 people in. The fact that if somebody has got a serious mental illness, that there is no place to commit them mm-hmm. to. There are places that more and more we're finding, like we said about Hill Country opening up. But they're not available 24 hours a day. I mean, once people are there, they're okay, but they're not going to go out and find these people. So what is the program that you envision?
So I don't have a specific program in mind. I just know that what we're doing, we have to be able to do it better than what we're doing, and we need assistance from the state. I don't know that the community itself is going to have the funding or the resources or the ability to change some of the legislative things that need to be changed so that we can, for example, make sure that people who are arrested and convicted of drug use get treatment. We used to have that. We had an addicted offender program, and people had to go through the program or they went in jail. And we don't do that anymore. So putting those kinds of programs into place, getting people off drugs, because we have a stick. We have a carrot and a stick. Right now we have carrots. We have no sticks for anything. That's part of the problem. The mental health piece is going to require some funding, some plans, some ideas from the state level, working with our local mental health groups, whether it's some kind of residential, like you were talking about, Trish, on the break, a place where people can go and get stabilized, get in their right mind and assisted through the process. Maybe they go into like what Jonathan Anderson is talking about, one of these villages, these tiny home villages where there's other normal people living in there, assisting them, creating community, modeling a healthy society. But it has to be in a facility that has rules, that has requirements where people have to chip in. It can't be lawless, because the homeless camps are lawless right now, and the homeless are victimed by other.
Oh, yeah.
Homeless.
I mean, that's been, it looks like it's a prison yard out there.
It is, yeah.
I mean, that's been clear.
So it's not just giving a shelter a place to stay. It has to be, we have to create community for these people.
You know, I think that the reason that Reagan shut down the mental institutions was a court case that says you can't force people to get medical treatment.
So maybe we need to change that, bring that back.
Well, maybe that is, that. But then again, I go back into this thing that when the state, you know, right now the state can come in and take all my guns. If somebody says that they think I'm a threat, even if I'm not, under the red flag laws. So now what happens, you know, 10 years down the road when somebody, Julie, says, I think Carl's a threat to himself.
You won't hit the threshold. I think we'd be talking about it.
But don't you see what I'm saying?
Is the more we get government involved
once we start saying this person is mentally ill and needs to be taken care of, and by the way, the state is now going to take care of them, the more this is where people start backing off a little bit about it. That yes, it's one thing if a person has tried to kill themselves or is a complete danger to themselves, you put them in a hospital. Until they're no longer a danger to themselves or to others. And theoretically, I see what you're saying.
These people are a danger to themselves. Living on the street is a danger to yourself.
It is, but it's a danger for if you're an able-bodied person living out there on them, you know, like that. Something does have to be done. I think probably a halfway village of some kind, but I don't know who's going to build that. Is that something the city builds?
I don't see the city certainly wouldn't have a funding stream or staffing for that. That would need to probably be
city has funding streams for a lot of interesting things.
Yeah, you have to recognize from the beginning of this that this whole thing started with the federal government coming in here into the state saying that our jails were overpopulated, that there were not adequate mental health facilities and services, and they started at that, and so they started putting people out of our state prisons and down into the local levels, and that just kind of flowed and continued with all the propositions that passed. We're not going to solve it at the local level, and we're not going to solve it by giving them things, but I think you have a better chance of getting federal legislation changed than you do in the state of California. Mm-hmm. There's a mindset there just isn't enough we can do for all that population that they want to take over and control. And until you change that, I don't know how you do that, Julie.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You bring up a good point, and I do. I think that there may be opportunities at the federal level. We certainly need to look at it differently, because what we're doing is not working, and the problem is growing. So we do need to do something different.
To go back and then from the beginning was we have the criminals out there on the streets. You're not even talking about them.
The criminals need to go to jail.
Right. You're not even talking about that. No. You're talking about the ones who are so mentally ill. They can't take care of themselves. They're living.
You see them walking by here, talking to
laying
themselves.
Laying out there in the rain and all these things. Yeah. Those are the ones you want to get into some kind of program, a housing program. And if they choose not to do that, that's when a conservatorship would, because they don't have the right mental faculties to say that I want to be helped. So then the state steps in and says, "Well, you do need to be helped, and we're going to do it."
Yeah.
That's it.
Yep. That's it.
It is, and as Carl brought up earlier, that's a very fearful path to go down, because the more we allow government to come in and take over our rights one by one because it's good for a certain population, we find that extends, and we see where we've gotten ourselves with the Second Amendment. This is just another step down that greasy road that says, yeah, but for certain people, we'll let them take away their rights, and it will never happen to us. And unfortunately, those laws expand if we make them.
The only good thing I can say is that the courts, that having gone through the conservatorship with this gentleman, are really, really on the side of the person that you're trying to get a conservatorship of. They want to make sure their rights are totally taken care of because, as they said, their rights now have gone away. And then at some point, you know, and every year you've got to do an update of it. They also get, you know, if a year from now they're okay, they can get off the conservatorship.
They can appeal it.
And that's part of it is that every year they're revisited on this. You know, Julie, at least it's we have no plans, obviously, it seems like. You floated something out there that it's not perfect, but I can understand where you're coming from on it.
We're doing is not working. We've got to do something different.
Okay.
That takes ideas.
Hey, thanks for coming in today
kind
of clearing up everything.
Good thing
you
got broad shoulders.
Yeah. 7:45 in the morning. It's 50 degrees.
Merry Christmas. Ben and Honor. Merry Christmas, everyone.
And speaking of Christmas, Four Winds Jewelry brings us this segment. Four Winds Jewelry. I mean, great, great values there. All types of Christmas sales going on.
Yeah, the wonderful sale going on right now.
Yeah, the only full-service jewelry store in Reading, and they have a wonderful sale going on right now at Four Winds Jewelry. Open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4 at 2225 Hilltop Drive, right across from Sarah Gibbs.
And those of you who have missed seeing Leonard, he's in there during December.
That's right. In fact, he just called me the other day. I got to call him back. So, okay. Hey, we'll be right back after these messages to talk about how Oakland maybe has solved their homeless problem.
I've never caught a glimpse how the others must see the faker. I'm much too fast to take that test.
Changes.
Don't want to be a richer man.
Armstrong and Getty here. We'll be on right after Carl and Linda's Free Fire Radio Show.
Join us right here from 9 till noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
So what's Scorecard Scribbling's all about?
I was scared for my life at that point. I remember looking to the right and seeing all the medical supplies there, and I'm just thinking, are they going to cut off a leg? What are we doing here?
I had a coach that would come up to me on the plane, stick his hand out. I knew what he wanted. Who am I not to give him to him? Like, I thought, okay, job security.
We came to the ballpark every day. We knew we were going to win. It's a great experience, a great feeling to be on a club like that.
Scorecard Scribbling's with Brent Weber, Wednesday nights from 6 to 7 on KCNR.
Some things in life you can just rely on.
like the comfy fit of a favorite pair of jeans and the tried and true performance of a new home comfort system from Rood. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance Heating and Air today at 530-221-2642.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. Tobacco and Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Tobacco and Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Hi, this is Grandpa from the As Seen on TV store, and I want to make shopping great again this Christmas. I purchased a truckload of merchandise. Infrared air fryers, regular $184, now $29.95. Limit two to a customer. Now that really is a bargain. Come in the store, receive a free gift just for walking in. As Seen on TV store, right next to Kugler's Furniture on Churn Creek.
Join the conversation online in our chat room, kcnr1460.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station. The phone line's here, 605-4567. Julie left on her way. She has a regular job and has to go see, is going out to treat a patient after she gets beat up in here. This portion of the show brought to you by Cornerstone Community Bank. Cornerstone Community Bank, locally owned, community-oriented, dedicated team of professionals wanting you to find out how you can move your dreams forward. Two places right here in town you can go in and talk to them and find out just how good they are. 1845 California Street, just down from Jack's, and in the Rayleigh Shopping Center, the old Rayleigh Shopping Center, at 192 Hartnell Avenue. Learn more at bankcornerstone.com. Okay, kiddo. Oakland wants to put a cruise ship into their bay, and what this was proposed. A thousand beds, because they're, as I just read earlier, that their numbers exploded, and that's why when Julie said, "Oh, we have 3,000," I don't believe that. I don't believe it, because if Oakland has 4,000, how could we have 3,000? But
well, and the documented number you brought out is
1,100, and then out of that, 300 is chronically. So they may have 4,000 chronic homeless. Anyway, so they bring in this cruise ship. So everybody's got a room. You can put two to a room. They have their own bathrooms. There's laundry facilities. There's restaurants and all this. To be fed, galleys, they can be fed. And they're talking about if they're in there, they pay a certain amount, and how much money they make, they pay, for rent and all this. As you can imagine, the harbor at Oakland, a major shipping area there, is having some questions about this.
The issues that are created just with the cleaning of the facility, of the disposal, garbage and refuse,
sewage, electricity, water,
plumbing,
and then the trash, and then the people on and off the ship.
Exactly. I can't even imagine. What a nightmare. What a nightmare. And you're going to have a population, like you say, it's a major shipping port. The population coming in and out of there, and there is this.
I'm saying that I hope they do it, and we look at it. And if it works, we see if we can't ship a few up there and just say, hey, you want to take a cruise? Huh? You want to take a cruise? You want to be on a cruise ship? You know, you get all your meals, please.
You know,
please.
One of the things.
Or we take a riverboat right here in the city.
Oh, and do the same thing right here in the city of Reading.
Maybe smaller.
Make a use of the Sacramento River. We keep talking about the fact there are no usable facilities on the river.
We're not using it now. Well, let's put a homeless boat out there.
I'm so glad I live in the city of Anderson. With all these great ideas that you guys are coming up with.
No, this is just my coming. You know, everybody talks, you know, and the cost of everything just to do things. If you've been following, I had to ask you because you've been gone for a couple of weeks now. Your grandson is just a star.
What fun that was.
And people don't realize there's a lot of tons of money in this sport.
I mean, people don't
get in this sport just, you know, on a whim. This is a multi-million dollar sport.
Absolutely. And just for the record, Gavin works his way. He works for the trainer. He works for the barns, the people that haul him. He works as a loper and runs their barns and their what have you. Because there's no way the Clark family's footing the bill on this whole thing.
This is a very prestigious, expensive
sport. But he's doing a good job with it.
The impeachment, I watched a little bit this morning. You know, I am still having a real problem with a number of things on this. I read what Nadler said. And one of the things he said about a politician approaching other people for help and blah, 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 it should be illegal. And I'm thinking, but that's what every politician does every time.
That's how the whole system works. And that's exactly the whole process of the impeachment and everything that they've done with that, the Russia thing that went on forever and ever and
went
nowhere because they had nothing. But the whole thing with – I still am appalled by listening to this Horovitz report that talks about the only thing they had was the Steele dossier that they disproved, that they lied. That they lied repeatedly about it being factually sound. And then went back again. How come the judges that were taken advantage of, if in fact they knew nothing, and I have a hard time believing that the judges who signed those warrants, this is just my opinion, but how could they have not had any knowledge of what was actually going on? The Steele dossier was all over the air, all over every place. People were aware of it. Could they really not know that it had not been factually sound and that Hillary Clinton had paid for it? Did they really not know that or hear that? Where are these judges living? Are they living in a hole someplace where they don't read or see anything in the world?
Yeah.
How could they possibly have known?
Well, they don't
know?
Because we've gone so far beyond that. Nadler says he made this statement when he was earlier this morning. He says, we cannot rely on an election to oust Trump. We can't wait that long. We have to get him out now. Well, again, he has said that since before Trump was before he was sworn in. They're saying this, and I think people are tired of this. They've had it. They look at this and they've gone from collusion to now he has motives. He had a motive. It said that. Oh, and then he obstructed justice by not coming down and releasing people. How can you do that? They are co-equal in the Constitution. The executive branch, the Congress itself, the elected representatives, and then the judicial branch are all equal. So you can't force him. Plus, Obama, Clinton, Bush, everybody has refused to do it.
The executive branch has the power of the things that they're accusing him of doing and not letting them do. He is the one. The president of the United States is the one with that power. Unfortunately, previous presidents, it has been a pattern that they have allowed the people that are advising them to make these decisions, and they've done as they were told. the people that are behind all this are the people who've been making these decisions for other presidents. Well, that's unheard of. He doesn't make a decision on his own. He leaves it to us to advise him, and he told us to get out of the room and shut up. He wasn't listening to us, and we're not – these are bureaucrats. These are people not even elected by us who want to make these decisions and are being the whistleblowers and instigators of all of this nonsense. And they continue to lie. They sit there, and this guy has 14, 15 things, Horovitz. He has all this information that shows that the FBI did wrong, terrible, horrible things against our Constitution. But they didn't really have any bias in doing it. Where the heck does he come up with that? Can anybody buy that? And is anybody, Carl, in your best opinion, is anybody's head going to roll that we know their name and that...
Nothing. That's what's going to happen.
And hey, that's the frustrating part.
We got to run here. We're getting ready to, of course, have on... we're going to talk about what's happening downtown with the gentleman that's in charge of everything that's happening downtown from the city is going to join us. And we're talking about taking down everything. But just his last thought here is Oracle, the conference that they were going to have in San Francisco has now been moved to, I'm not even sure where, but they moved it because of what's going on in San Francisco on the streets, the cost, and all this. This is Oracle. This is a huge company, a tech company that's moving their meeting. It's been there for 2 decades, cited expensive hotel rates and the city's poor street conditions as reasons for the move. So they're moving, I think, to Las Vegas. So this is just another thing that's happening. We got to run. We'll be right back after the news.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
A tweet by President Trump. He writes, "Getting very close to a big deal with China. They want it, and so do we." A reference to the trade deal that Washington and Beijing have been negotiating. And on Capitol Hill this morning.
This is a travesty.
Georgia's Doug Collins, ranking Republican on the House Judiciary Committee, railing against the Democrats' drive to impeach President Trump. Following a marathon session last night, the Judiciary Committee is once again debating 2 articles of impeachment.
Democrats and Republicans began the Thursday session delivering sharp, poignant, and at times personal arguments for and against impeachment. Both sides appealed to Americans' sense of history. Democrats ascribing a strong sense of duty to stop what one of them called the president's constitutional crime spree, and Republicans decrying the sham, farce impeachment and what it means for the future of the country. Ranking Republican Doug Collins of Georgia requested an additional hearing date so that Republican called witnesses could testify. Chairman Gerald Nadler of New York gave a long, detailed answer as to why he refused to grant the minority's request. Bernie Bennett, Capitol Hill.
It is risky and it is dangerous, but New Zealand's prime minister says an operation to recover the bodies of 8 volcano victims from White Island will go ahead.
One of the things that I directly requested of police was that they work alongside those helicopter pilots in particular who were on the island immediately after the eruption. They know it well. They know sadly where those victims lie. And my understanding is that now those helicopter pilots are closely involved in that recovery operation.
There is concern because scientists believe another eruption could be imminent. Wall Street, the Dow up 229 points, the S&P 25 points higher, the NASDAQ Composite Index up 71. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
My story begins with debt, a lot of debt, credit card debt, and I heard a commercial for Trinity. I gave them a call.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
When I first called, I was a little embarrassed and kind of ashamed, and I looked at the numbers, and I saw how quickly that astronomical debt that was in my life would go away.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
What I would tell other people, please pick up the phone and call Trinity. Just let them put together a program and see how affordable and easy it is to pay off your debt.
Call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976. That's 1-800-990-6976.
A diplomatic spat between Germany and Russia. The BBC's Steve Rosenberg is in Moscow.
The Russian Foreign Ministry said it was expelling two German diplomats. They have 7 days to leave the country. This follows Germany's decision to expel two Russian diplomats over Moscow's refusal to cooperate in a murder investigation. Back in August, Zelimkhan Khangoshvili, a former Chechen rebel commander who'd been living in exile in Germany, was shot dead in a Berlin park. German prosecutors suspect the involvement of the Russian state. This week, President Putin said Mr. Khangoshvili had been a cruel and bloodthirsty person, but Moscow denies any connection to the killing.
A fire aboard Russia's only aircraft carrier injured two service members, according to the Russian military, which says the fire has been contained. The injured men have received medical attention. Breaking news and analysis, townhall.com. Arkansas cannot enforce a law banning the use of terms like burger and sausage to sell vegetarian and vegan products.
U.S. District Judge Christine Baker on Wednesday granted a preliminary injunction preventing the state from enforcing the law against Oregon-based Tofurky Company, while the measure is challenged in her court. The American Civil Liberties Union, the Good Food Institute, and the Animal Legal Defense Fund sued in July on behalf of the company. They argued that it's an unconstitutional effort to shore up the state's meat and other industries. Keith Peters reporting.
A federal judge blocking enforcement of a Los Angeles law that requires businesses that bought city contracts to disclose whether they have ties to the National Rifle Association. The judge granting a preliminary injunction sought by the NRA. It argued the ordinance violates the constitutional rights of free speech and equal protection. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR. 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Celebrating 10 years on the air. Phone lines here are 605-4567. Feel free to call in with thoughts and ideas and questions for our guest. 8:05 in the morning, news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion, and community. Shasta Regional Medical Center. I'm here, of course, with Trish Clark, my Thursday girl.
I love Thursdays, and I'm happy to be back in our community and back doing the show. Today, we're looking for a high near 60. It's about 52 degrees in downtown Reading as we speak. It's going to rain. Chance of precipitation is 80% and going to hold pretty much through the week. This evening, we're looking for a low of 49. And on Friday, rain likely, a high of 57 and a low of 41. On Saturday, 40% chance of rain, mainly after 10 a.m. So the laying of the wreaths should go without too much precipitation.
No, this Saturday.
And on Saturday night, a 30% chance of rain, low of 36. Sunday, mostly sunny with a high near 56. Sunday night, a low of 35. And on Monday, mostly sunny with a high near 56 and a low of 38. So we're going to have a little precipitation, and we need that. We certainly need the rain, yeah. And it's fortunately only coming down in a deluge once in a while. The slow, steady rain is really what we need to fill the rivers and saturate the ground, fill the underwater. All good things happening. The weather is always is brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends. They're locally owned and operated. They give veterans and senior discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793.
Sue, we got a crash out there.
We do. This is near Red Bluff. If you are near State Route 99 and South Avenue, traffic backing up due to the traffic collision. Also, a traffic hazard reported this morning on 299 near the Trinity River, and things definitely slowing down as you head up into the higher elevations. If you're traveling near Weed, they do have a high wind advisory. Also, they have snow plows. Very busy this morning. This is north of Interstate 5. Also, we have quite a bit of snow near Willow Creek this morning, 299 West, also on 44. So just be careful if you are traveling. And remember, traffic reduced to 45 miles per hour between Reading and Anderson as they widen Interstate 5, and drive safe this holiday season. Now, Carl, back to you.
And Sue, just a little clarification. The traffic down between Reading and Anderson now is actually 55 going south, and it's up from when you leave the city of Anderson, just right as you get on the Riverside Avenue. The traffic now bumps up to 65 miles an hour.
Oh, they
at
changed
that
it
point.
Then?
Yeah,
okay.
So it has been, and it's no longer in the 45, except sporadically in the bridge areas where they're sometimes shutting it down when there's a lot of construction going on.
Well, it's
on.
Toward the end of the year, and they want to flip up those slower traffic speeds so they can kind of help the coffers of the estate before the year's over.
Well, and the other thing is, I just want to caution everybody to obey those rules because we have people out there on the roads. They're
true.
Doing their job. Those workmen don't need to be run over by you to get there 2 minutes faster. So they're trying to work with us. They've increased those speed limits. So slow down and follow them because I'm not getting out of the center lane so you can bump me away.
I've got to go back now. And hey, we're here with Steve Bade. You know, here's what happened. You know, I'm looking outside my back door, and I look outside my back door, and I saw the police station go down. And mm-hmm. and I went, whoa. And I saw the over there, and it was across the street where the Blue House is, that formerly the brothel down there is, all that was cleared out, and all I saw, you know, then they put in parking for Raba and all this, which was underwater, I guess, the other day. And then, like I said, the police station behind us. Then I looked down the street here and the promenade and the Dickerson building's gone. And then when I want to look at things that are changing, I just walk outside the back door, and the parking structure. This is the north end, right up here. The north end of the parking structure is gone. I mean, and it's gone. And so all these changes that are happening, and they're happening so quickly. So I was wondering about. So who do I call? I call Steve because Steve's kind of in charge of all this stuff. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
You're
single-handedly tearing down all the parking.
You're the City of Reading Planning and Community Development Manager.
Correct.
Okay. Wow, that's a big title there. So what's that mean, Steve?
I was appointed by the city manager due to the funding that we received from the federal government and the state that, we needed someone to help facilitate and administer those grant funds into downtown as we look forward to redeveloping.
Because that is kind of a new job description, if you will.
You used to be, used to do something else.
Well, I was a housing manager.
Yeah, that's okay. That's right. That's okay. Where I need you.
Because this is a new position, right?
Well, yes, it is. It was newly created a little over a year ago.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's kind of stems from my former background in redevelopment and my housing background and administering grants over time.
Okay. So we're talking about, if you look at downtown, we're talking billion. Is it up to a billion? It's not up to a billion yet. It's up in the hundreds of millions, though, of construction that's going on downtown.
Correct.
Can you give everybody a quick overview of everything that's happening downtown?
Sure, certainly. So I would say that the first, main project is the Market Center project that's at the former Dicker site at 1551 Market Street. And that project is going well. You know, you're starting to see the second floor is really coming together, and the third floor will be following very soon with that. That's a $42 million job in the center of downtown.
And what is it they're building?
So that is a mixed-use building, has a commercial space on the first floor, and then three residential floors above that.
And is that affordable housing?
They're affordable units, yes. They actually have a good income range. They're ranging from 35% to 80%, so you're getting a good income group. You know, you get in that group and you're really looking at a lot of the working
so
folks downtown.
So when we talk about housing for affordable housing, mm-hmm. that's less for people who make less money. Then we talk market price, which is what you can get for it for people that make more money. Mm-hmm.
Correct.
And it's a combination of both.
Yeah.
Correct.
And that's how you get the grants, is you have to have X amount of affordable housing.
Correct.
So, but when we're talking, this is a key note because one of the things that I hear when I talk to people about what we're doing down there is we're creating all of this commercial walk around space, and then we're going to fill it with people who don't have any money living at the top of it. So how does that work? And I want people to understand that that's really not the picture.
Yeah,
the picture
that's
is
not.
That it's a combination of housing.
Correct. Yeah, it's a blend of incomes that are living in those units.
Young new couples with minimum income, no children, maybe living in those areas as they grow and start their life together.
Correct. Yeah, and you know, prime example, you know, we have some units close to your studio here, and some of those tenants actually they live and work within that building, and so. You know, that's how it generally works. You get a lot of working young families or young individuals that want to be close to their work. They also want to be close to downtown, the restaurants, the entertainment, those kinds of things. So that's really who it's attracting. But it's, you know, they do have some income to still use downtown. But
there's
still blend.
Disposable income. This isn't people that are, you know, 80% below the poverty line. These are people that can pay, you know, X amount of dollars.
And they have to pay something based on their income.
Correct.
Okay, hey, look, we're going to take a quick break here and get back into the rest of what's going on downtown with Steve Bade, who is the City of Reading Planning and Community Development Manager. But last night, when I crashed into my Sleep Number bed, I took my remote, because everything has a remote, and I changed it from my usual 60. And I said, yeah, back's just a little sore today. So I moved it up to 70. You know, a little more firmness in the mattress. Meanwhile, Linda took hers, and her Sleep Number setting is 45. My Sleep Number setting is 70. And this is on a bed that essentially moves around with me when I'm sleeping to make sure I'm okay. I mean, you feel that love.
I do, because when I returned from my latest trip, I had been out and around, and the body was tired, lots of travel and what have you, and I went from my normal 55 setting, and I've been down at like 40, just kind of mellowing in and relaxing the body.
It allows
Can't
you
beat the
and
sleep
your
number.
Partner to sleep in the, you know, in the ideal Sleep Number setting in your bed. And right now, to make spirits bright this holiday season with gifts of the quality of sleep. I mean, if you can give anybody a gift that keeps on giving, and I had somebody in here the other day that had one for 20 years, their Sleep Number. They've had their Sleep Number for 20 years.
I've had mine for close 17
wow. Yeah.
Better years.
Anyway, how much is a good night's sleep worth? Well, in it's Sleep Number.
It's priceless.
And right now, from $999 only at Sleep Number. Take a look at the Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed. It's down in the Target Shopping Center. Go on down there, hop in there, and say, "Hey, I'd like to try out the bed." And Carl, Linda, and Trish sent me. Hey, we'll be right back with Steve Bade. 8:15 in the morning, 50 degrees out there. It's raining. Weather reports always brought to you by our friends over at Shasta Gas Propane.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
The Reading Rancheria Senior Nutrition Program provides socialization, transportation, and free meals to eligible Native American elders and their spouses. Our program celebrates Native elders through cultural activities, entertainment, exercise, and education. Elders can dine together here and will deliver meals to those who are unable to attend. The Reading Rancheria Senior Nutrition Program is free. Discover the services available to you or your elders at readingrancheria.com.
You win, especially on your birthday. Watch for your free play coupon in the mail. Didn't get your birthday gift? Come on in to Wind River Resort and Casino on your birthday and collect your free play. Or if you have birthday coupons from other casinos, bring them in and we'll match up to $100 in free play. To sweeten the deal, you'll also receive triple points on your special day. Only one birthday gift or free play redeemed per year. Slot play limited to $100. Details at windriver.com.
Reading Electric Utility cares about the whole community, and we offer an income-qualified residential energy discount program that can save you up to $400 a year on your energy bill. And once per year, CARES bill credit up to $300. To find out if your income qualifies you for a residential discount program and CARES program, call 339-7200. That number again is 339-7200.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
Aloha, this is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
Hear us streaming 24/7 at KCNR1460.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Phone lines here, 605-4567, Trish Clark, Carl Bott. This portion of the show brought to you by Grandpa's As Seen on TV Store.
I love that store.
Have you ever gone to that, Steve? Have you gone to that?
You know, I have not gone to
that. Oh, you cannot go to that
store. It's down in the Cubular Shopping Center, and I swear to God, he's got another spot open there so you can watch how the food's cooked and chop, 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 all these things. This man could sell a fur coat to a polar bear, I swear to God. But the stuff he has, see it, feel it, touch it, take it home. Go on down there. It's great. You know, those little stocking stuffers or little things around the, you know, like the salsa maker. I mean.
Green bags. If you haven't tried the green bags, got to buy the green bags.
They've got this one thing. They've got, it's a mat for your door. Guaranteed that when you come in, no matter how muddy your shoes and all this stuff is, you walk across this mat, boom, they're clean. He has that in front of everything out there. So Grandpa's Has Seen on TV Store down in Cubular Shopping Center at 1818 Sherman Creek Road. Okay. We're here with Steve Bate. And Steve's going, what did I get into? He's in charge of...
We're selling him all this stuff.
Yeah, we're selling it. Yeah, he's going to run down. List. Yeah, he's running down now to get a Sleep Number store, and he's going down before he, on his way down, he goes to see the shopping.
As Seen on TV.
Hey, yeah, Steve's in charge of all the downtown construction, I guess you could say. You're the planning community development manager. You know, we talked about the Dickers building, how it's going to be a mixed-use building, which means you have stores and then on the first deck. And then on the next two floors are going to be apartments, affordable housing up to market price. Different. Everybody that comes in there, though, has a job. They have a means of paying for it, paying the rent. And this isn't a gimme by any chance.
Correct.
Okay. Okay, that's Dickers. Now, as we move across, what else is happening?
Well, I'd say the next layer, of course, as everybody has seen the California Street parking structure and the demolition of the north end.
And what's going in there?
So on that north block, when I speak of the north block, it's that section between Tehama and Butte Street. You know, there's a commercial tower at the very north end that is being constructed. And then
there's going to be a tower there?
It's a commercial tower. It's a five-story commercial building that will be right, kind of bookending right at the Tehama street frontage. Beyond that, you'll have a, you know, 300-plus parking structure will be built in between market rate housing. So you'll have market rate housing kind of bookending the section down along, you know, facing Butte, and then you have the commercial tower at the Tehama street face. And in between that, you have a multi-level parking structure with more than 300 spaces.
Just one question here. Now, does the I've forgotten it. Okay, so you
okay.
take yours.
The street, is Market Street, is it going to go straight through?
Well, Market Street would be over, a block over. So, you know, that's on the – that was the California Street Parking Structure Project. This, Market Street, that's part of the street circulation project. And I'll I was going to mention that after this.
Well, let's go back to this one, the five-story?
Correct.
Five-story structure. That's the tallest structure in Reading then.
I believe it may.
Taller than the jail?
You know, one will hope that we get beyond that jail height, right?
Oh, my gosh. We've got a five-story structure.
Yeah.
Do you think there'll be an elevator in it?
I know there'll be an elevator in that.
Okay.
How about an escalator?
Did you know that in Europe, unless you have anything up to three stories doesn't need an elevator, at least in Croatia, and then anything over three stories does. So if you were lucky to live on that third story, everything's clogged up. Okay, the when we take down the reason I called you originally was this. It's shopping season. This is the busiest time of the year for people, and we tear down the parking structure. We be in the city. Why did we do that and not wait a month?
Well, just for clarification, I mean, it wasn't the city that tore that down, but we did, you know, negotiate a deal for that transaction on that property. And the developer, between, you know, there was a partnership when we went and applied at the state level for the grant dollars.
And it's K2?
K2 and McConnell Foundation.
McConnell Foundation.
That is the partnership that we had negotiated that deal with. And we were successful in that, in the first round, you know, application round. And received the $20 million from the Affordable Housing Sustainable Communities Grant and then also $4 million from the Infill Infrastructure Grant Program, both state programs. And when you are awarded those monies, basically that time clock starts. And you have within 2 years to be under construction. We were awarded those dollars in June of 2018. You know, before you know it, it's going to be June 2020, and you have to be under construction for to meet the milestones that the funding
so
requires.
Under construction means construction of the unit itself, not the preparation of it. So tearing this down does not count.
Correct. That you know we've started construction in the general terms, but when you're looking at financing agencies and what they want to consider as start of construction, they're looking for you know site ready. And so when you have a parking structure that is, you know, going across right of way and you're having to reconfigure parcels, and so you need to have that ready. You need to have your parcel, you know, laid out. You need to have site control of that parcel. You need to transfer that ownership into the right entity that's going to be developing it. So there's a number of steps that go along before actually the construction financing agency and permanent financing agency will actually, you know.
I see. Okay, the okay, well, let's continue on about the building because I have other questions here about parking that we'll, you know, I know that you're going to address and all that. Okay, so that's the reason it started during the Christmas busy season. And I know it had – I know a lot of the stores downtown were, had some consternation about that. That's why the South End – is being kind of like held off on?
Correct. Yeah, we ended up working with the North End first because we had other parking facilities that could help mitigate those parking concerns on the North End from the RABA facility, the old former RPD site.
Yeah, right
site.
Behind us and everything. Yeah.
Correct. And we had some other negotiations going with some other private lots. So it was – That was one reason why it made good sense to support the businesses and keep that South End open, and so we're going to keep that open until March, so they can get through this, you know, this really busy time of the year. This is their strong quarter, and we want to support the local businesses, and so it was a good decision.
It made sense to me because I did not understand why you were doing it until Steve and I talked, last week, I guess, and he explained it like that. And I think it's important that people know is that there is parking around here, so don't be afraid. I mean, you've got parking in where the old police station is. There's, I don't know, 70, 80 spots there, I would imagine. Then over in Robba, there's a
130.
Besides which, it's good for people to get out of their car and have a little exercise before they get to their
Yeah, well,
going.
You tell people that when the rain is coming down hard that it floods the Robba parking lot.
Well, having gone through the construction of the county building, we went through the same thing.
Same thing.
Absolutely, and the parking became a huge issue in everything that the county was doing all the way through.
It
the
all
process.
Works out. It, hey, then, okay, so what's, okay, we're talking about a 300 parking structure, 300 car parking structure. Now,
and what do we have now?
But currently, it had 645 spaces.
Okay. Now, so there's a new parking structure. I know that, I think Danny Knott told me how much it costs per spot for a cement parking structure, and it was $27,000. Mm-hmm. Is that about right?
Yeah, that is about correct. Yes.
$27,000.
And how high will the parking structure be?
Right now it's at three. I believe it's three-story. It might be three or four-stories.
Okay.
I haven't seen the final design, but it's right around three or four stories.
What's the tower going to be? Is that going to be the mixed-use?
No, the tower is actually a commercial tower. So, I mean, you have, it's retail frontage on the first floor, but really you have a commercial space on the upper floor.
So you're talking doctors, lawyers, engineers, whatever kind of commercial.
Correct. And there's a partnership with Shasta College for some of that space in already.
Nursing or the dental down here.
Correct.
So I can so a five-story commercial building then.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
correct.
Cool. When you say a tower, is it going to be a just a regular rectangular type thing?
Yeah, that's okay. What I would, in general, to get a good visual of that, yes.
Yeah. Okay, so then we have the parking structure, and then on the other side is going to be
some market rate housing, and it's probably between 12, 15 units that'll kind of book in that south end of that block, and it's just now you're talking, at the Butte Street crossing, at the corner of California and Butte is where that market rate housing.
Okay. All right, let's move over to the courthouse.
The courthouse, okay.
Can you address anything about that?
We're not really involved much with the courthouse.
But that's part of the millions of dollars that are being poured in, and those guys are working like hell out there.
Yeah, you're starting to see that come out of the ground now. So a lot of their underground infrastructure is obviously getting done, and they're starting to construct that. You know, that's a courthouse, and they have their own.
Wow, they do.
Construction management.
Okay. And actually, that's a state project.
Correct, yeah. Yes.
But that's part of what's going on downtown, which is, again, this place is exploding out of here. All right, so we've talked about the Dickers. We've talked about what's going down here on California Street. What are some other things that are happening?
Well, in the mid-block between Butte and Yuba Street, you have another affordable housing project going there. Now, that's a mixed-use development. It'll have retail frontage on the first floor that you'll see along California Street. And then above that, you'll have multifamily units.
Now, this is the building across from U.S. Bank on...
No, you would be across from the CalWORKs building, the brick building on California Street.
Okay.
So you're in between Butte and
Yuba
Street.
Okay, we're over here on this side.
Correct.
Right here in the corner of Tehama and California Street is going to be the five-story building. Next to that is going to be the parking.
Mm-hmm.
Next to that will be the mixed-use building.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
With retail on the bottom and housing on the top. And then at the far end, just the housing units.
So, yeah, in the mid-block is where that mixed-use housing. It's, it has nice common plazas mixed in within those buildings. I like to call it like a Z-shaped kind of layout of those buildings. Mm-hmm. And it makes it very pedestrian-friendly, interactive, nice green open spaces. And then you'll have, 79 units, that are also located in that block. Now, that's just between Butte and Yuba. Between Yuba and Placer Street, right now there's basically proposed a surface parking lot that'll have about 80 spaces.
Oh, really, a surface parking lot there, huh?
Until, that at some point.
I want that block, and I'll tell you why. Mm-hmm. I'm going to build a movie theater.
A movie theater?
I want to build a movie theater there.
Mm-hmm.
Downtown movie theater. Of course, it only cost me a few million. You got to...
Yeah.
Chuck. Anyway, hey, we got to take a break here. We're with Steve Bade, who is in charge of all this building and keeping all this stuff, community development down here in Redding. I've got questions. Now, there's got to be a website that shows all of this.
Correct.
And so what would that be?
So you can go to the City of Redding website, and there's actually a downtown link, and you can find out about the projects. You can find about where to park.
It's a good link too.
Yes,
I've opened it up. Even I understand it. Mm-hmm. But it shows what's going to be down there. But it shows where all the parking is, distances, everything.
Mm-hmm. I think that's important. So they just go to the City of Redding regular webpage and click on the downtown link.
Yeah, there's a downtown.
And they can actually see
everything we've been talking about.
Correct.
That's important.
You
for
can
people
do that.
To know.
In fact, you can do it right now and kind of follow along if you want to. Mm-hmm. But we got to take a break. Clyde Pierce. Over 47 years in the business, locally and operated by Clyde Pierce, specializing in home electronics. authorized dealer for Sony, Samsung, LG, Klipsch, and his wife just announced that she's running for Board of Supervisors
District 2
against Leonard Modi. That's going to be a battle. Clyde's is, if you haven't talked to Clyde, call him up and just talk to him. You know, it'd be better if you went in and bought something, but find out just why he's been around for 47 years.
Also authorized Bose dealer.
Yeah.
Bose radio.
Oh, Bose radio, that's
yes,
right.
Yes, exactly.
He's also got radios down there that work great everywhere, and they've got not only AM, FM, they've got weather channels and everything. We got one at my house, in fact. Really good. Okay, hey, we'll be right back with Trish Clark and Steve Bates.
We can leave your friends behind, cause your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, they're no friends of mine. See, we can go where we want to, place where they will never find, and we can act like we come from out of this world, leave the real one behind. We can dance.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Many accidents are caused by worn wiper blades. Let's face it, it's just uncomfortable when you're driving in the rain, snow, fog, and everything else in between with worn wiper blades. At Premier Oil Change, when you buy one wiper blade, you get the second blade free. Yes, now through January 15th, buy one wiper blade and get the second one free for as little as $11.99. At Premier Oil Change, we make maintaining your car easy. There's no need for an appointment, and you don't drop off your car or wait. Just pull in, enjoy a free beverage and free Wi-Fi while our trained technicians perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. Earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palisadro. Premier's in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park. Both locations get you a free car wash with every oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
Home of the friendly oil change.
For many people, their faith, their family, and their health are the most important things in their life. Every day, the work that I do influences these things. Children go to college, couples move into their first home, people retire, businesses start, and charities are supported. All of this in part because of the work I do. I can make complicated things clearer so people understand them. I can solve problems and find solutions. People need someone to put their interests first. And for many people, I am that someone. I can lend an ear, stand with you during life's ups and downs, and provide that advice at just the right time. That's why I love my job. That's why I'm a financial advisor, Susan Eastman, with Wells Fargo Advisors in Redding, California, 243-7561. Once again, this is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors. I'd love to be your financial advisor. Please give me a call at 243-7561.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. If you're 50 or older, now is the time to schedule this life-saving test. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%, so stop making excuses and get screened. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
Join the conversation online in our chat room, kcnr1460.com.
Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM. 1460 AM, your talk radio.
Celebrating the off-air 10 talk.
Years on the air, 605-4567. You got a question about what's going to happen downtown. We got Steve Bade with us, City of Reading Planning and Community Development Manager. We're talking about all the building that's going on. And this portion of the show being brought to you by BNT Satellite, our local dish satellite company. Give Doug a call, a veteran-owned business, at 241-3474-241-DISH. He's got all types of great deals for seniors and for our veterans and first responders, our active-duty military. He's got packages there that can get you free movie rentals, free upgrade to hoppers, so you can stream TV on DISH anywhere while deployed or in your house, anywhere you want. No receiver or plan restrictions, but you got to call 241-DISH. Don't call the 800 number. Hey, Trish and I are here with Steve Bade, and he said, this has been an expensive show so far. I'm going to go out and buy a bed. I've got to go do, I've got to go out and do my Christmas shopping, and now a living trust. Otherwise, Julie will put you in the... No, I'm just kidding. I am just kidding, okay? Julie, come on, smile. Steve's talking about what's happening downtown. I'm really glad we got you in there because now everything, people can see it now. They're watching things come down. Okay, so we've talked about the Dickers. We've talked about what's happening here on California Street. What else is happening downtown?
You know, we're moving forward with the downtown street circulation project, and so that project is going to be considered by City Council on Tuesday, December 17th, and they'll be looking to for consideration of awarding that project. And what that does is it really restores the downtown grid again. We're, you know, opening Market Street all the way down to Yuba. It'll, of course, stop.
So it's going
to
go right here.
Correct.
Right where I'm, mm-hmm. We're right next to us.
Correct.
So we're going to open up that whole area there.
Correct.
That used all the to way be down, way back.
All, and so it's going to be a street all the way down to Yuba Street.
Yeah, so you'll be able to, in this first lane on Market Street, heading south, you'll be able to take that lane and drive straight into the middle of the promenade, basically.
Yeah, and
it's
park,
a one
and
way.
Park there, because there's going to be
and it's
parking.
Be a one-way street.
Yes, it is a one-way street going
okay.
south,
it's
down to
now,
Butte.
Right now.
Correct. And okay. and you'll be able to park. There's parallel parking in that okay. design and in that layout. And
wow.
So it'll add some parking spaces on the street.
So and so when it hits Butte Street, then it'll stop, and then you've got the promenade there, mm-hmm. which is going to still remain the way it is.
No, it'll continue on. So once you get to the Butte crossing, then it continues in front of the Market Center project.
Oh, it will.
And at that point, you're going to have two-way traffic.
Okay.
So you'll be able to continue on down to Yuba Street. You'll be able to turn towards the alley if you're going to go towards the California Street Alley, or you could go over towards Pine on that Butte Street connection.
Okay.
So you can travel in front of the new Market Center,
mm-hmm.
and then you can go either way on Yuba Street.
Right.
So and that way you can get – so we're restoring the grid. We're creating circulation.
But from Yuba to Placer.
Yes, from Yuba to Placer.
That's going to still be.
That's going to be. We don't have the right of way in that space.
Okay.
So we're going to have one little place there that's not going to go through.
Correct. And so that's the area where you see the Renaissance Reading meandering concrete bench and the art mm-hmm. at the south end.
It's down there by where the board of.
Yes, the clerk's office. The Christmas tree was just installed in that space right at the intersection of Yuba and Market.
Okay, I can live with that.
Yeah.
As well, we have to because I have no choice.
And,
okay,
and the reason being because you don't have the right-of-way.
Well, there's not a development in that end that's brought the grant money to redevelop those streets. Now, if there's something down the line where we're able to get some mm-hmm. other grant funding, then, you know, at that time, we'll see if there's an interest from those property
owners. Hey, we just moved the Christmas tree there.
Yeah.
Keep your hands off that.
I tend to agree with you on that one.
Okay.
That's pretty cool.
Steve, so that's going to go all the way through. Okay, what else is being planned?
Well, I think along with that streetscape is even the design and the layout. You know, it's not your typical asphalt street. It's actually pavers. So it's trying to make this area I'm just calling out this area as an inviting area. It's pedestrian friendly.
All this is going to be pavers from Tehama Street to Yuba Street. Then it's
correct.
Going to be pavers.
Yes. Oh. So it's a paver. And there's some asphalt in some middle patches, but for the most part, you're looking at vehicle pavers, pedestrian pavers. So even on the sidewalks, and you're going to see you know, with the design is really very pedestrian friendly. So it's allowing pedestrians, bikes, and vehicles to travel through that space and work together well. So it's, you know, it's a very nice design. You know, we're hoping to add some additional amenities during that project that can maybe add some catenary lighting, and maybe some additional amenities as we kind of figure out the full design.
And as all of these projects we're talking about now, the funding is in place, the contracts are pretty much in place, a lot of grant funding that came along with it, along with some private development money, mm-hmm. and all of the above. So the what we're talking about is already paid for.
Correct. It's.
I mean, it's not paid for, but it's the money is in place to make those payments.
Correct. Yes, and that, you know, this market street in Butte and Yuba, you know, that's a portion from the first grant that we received from the state. But, you know, the developments there, they're bringing in a lot more than we are on the grant side. You know, we're only a portion of that. So
and the, we haven't talked about this. The, over mm-hmm. on the corner of Placer and California Street, the mm-hmm. building where the tire store was, where the Riverfront Playhouse was going to be. Mm-hmm. That's a private
thing.
Yeah. What's going
Brent
in
Weaver,
there?
Right? Yeah, that's a private development with Brent Weaver, and it's a multi-story mixed use development.
Businesses on the downside and then up.
Yeah, there's a. I think it's a restaurant will be on that first floor, and I think there's 16 units. Those are all market rate, you know, units that are, you know, that'll be occupied in that development. So
okay, but it's private development.
Private development, yeah. Correct.
That's private. Now I think the restaurant may even be the one that's down here. The people that have done the Kobe Steakhouse.
Yes.
They'd be the ones involved in that.
Yeah, they are involved. They're a partner in that mm-hmm. development, and I believe they're going to do some sort of pub type of restaurant in there, so it should bring some
more.
We need
another pub in town.
We do.
Okay, now we're going to take our break, but this construction downtown with all of the people that are here, the pavers, I understand there's going to be trees planted all downtown to make it, you know, more inviting. The whole idea is to have a downtown that people will come to shop, visit all the local restaurants and all this. You're going to have people living here, hundreds now, it mm-hmm. sounds. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but hundreds of people living downtown now that don't need a car. Or if they can park it someplace and they can walk everywhere they want to go.
Correct. Correct. And that's where, I mean, we can at least call out at least 200 units that are being developed in downtown right now. And I think, you know, the ultimate goal is maybe 1,000 units, getting that in downtown. That's when you really start having a vibrant downtown.
I want to talk to you about that then. Okay. We've got to take a break. This portion of the show brought to you by Alliance Heated and Air. Alliance Heated and Air, if you're having any type of problems with your heating systems, is the heat working? Is it working to its full potential, or are you wasting energy through your air ducts, or maybe it's just not working right, your filters are dirty or something? Alliance Heating and Air can do it. They can work on any type of heating or cooling system. It's a veteran-owned business. They've been around for 25 years, voted best in the North State, and there's a reason for that. This is the only ones we let come to our house. Alliance Heating and Air. Give them a call at 221-2642 or learn more at their website, homecomfort.org. Alliance Heating and Air. Trish Clark, Carl Bott, 8:45 in the morning, 50 degrees out there. It's going to be raining. We'll be right back.
Armstrong and Getty here. We'll be on right after Carl and Linda's Free Fire Radio Show.
Join us right here from 9 till noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
PG&E is not fun anymore. Worried about high electricity rates and the reliability of power in the future? A propane generator can use all your propane in just a few days. Solar power from Advanced Power Ready is the solution. Advanced Power has been installing their lithium batteries for 5 years. They have more experience with battery systems than other local installers. With a 10-year warranty and 20-year expected life, enjoy years of trouble-free service. Why just have a grid-tied system when you can make and store your own energy? Enjoy power independence. independence and gain control over increasing rates, their batteries can be added to your existing solar system. Advanced Power Reading offers zero down with up to 25-year financing. Call today at 226-0701 and let them show you how to produce your own power. Remember these three things. Don't let anyone talk you into a lease. Use a local solar contractor. Get at least three bids. Call the experts at Advanced Power Reading, 226-0701, or stop by 843 North Market Street, Reading.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living, and wanted to share some thoughts from Dave Setholter about his experience having his mother-in-law, Mary Ann, move here to River Commons.
Originally, my mother-in-law wanted to live on her own, and she really wanted to be independent. River Commons has really made that possible for her to not only remain independent, but to actually grow and to thrive. There's just such a big difference in her peace of mind and her well-being, and that's what we really wanted. It's really been the solution for her to come here, and it was her idea after looking at some other options. When she came here, it was an easy choice for her. She's really happy she did. She feels like she's home. It's enriching. She's meeting new people, really enjoying herself, and that's really what it's all about.
Call today and schedule a tour or luncheon a tour and see for yourself why our residents love living here at River Commons. Call 221-2121 or on the web at river-commons.com.
Season's greetings from the Reading Colt 45s. This is Rick Bassetti, General Manager of the Colt 45s. The Colt 45s wish our veterans the very merriest Christmas and a happy holiday. The Colt 45s sincerely appreciate the sacrifice of our military deployed throughout the world and those veterans who have served our country and our citizens so well. And remember, on opening night, all veterans, all active duty, and all reservists get in free for the Colt 45's opening night.
I expected to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right? So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
Hear us streaming 24/7 at kcnr1460.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio, celebrating 10 years on the air. 8:50 in the morning, 50 degrees out there. Weather reports always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, a veteran-owned business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. Give them a call at 365-3793. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop. Cypress Square Barbershop, right off of Athens Avenue, a veteran-owned business that gives discounts to seniors and veterans. The best place in the world to get a haircut. And it's man's last stronghold. I'm just throwing it out there unapologetically. I am bragging about it. So you can go there and get a haircut, Trish. You may not like
it. Pass.
Okay. Hey, we're here with Steve Bade, who is in charge of the downtown development. We're talking about all the new things that are happening here. Then we're talking about the road projects that are going on. You can go to the website at Reading, the Reading City website, and click on.
Yeah, it's cityofreading.org/downtown.
Downtown, and everything we talked about is laid out. You can see where everything's going to be there. I was kind of surprised that right down there on California and Placer, that one little square there, across from, I assume, where the south, you know, the south parking lot is, it's going to be just an open parking lot. Is that what you said?
Yes, yeah, so on the south end, so between
south end.
Yuba and Placer Street.
Yeah, there'll be a parking lot there.
It's just a surface parking lot.
For about 80 people, 80
yeah,
cars.
Yeah, so about 80 spaces.
And based on the fact that there's no development interest on that piece of property at this point.
Well, there's just not a development identified. The property transaction has occurred, but it's going to sit there.
Something's going to grow.
So the property transaction is this now city property?
Yeah, so it was city property, isn't it? That's part of the developer, K2N McConnell. They are the owners of that. Yeah.
Now, what you said that, you know, we've got like 200 units that people can live in. Correct. In this group here. Mm-hmm. So, but you said it needs 1,000. Mm-hmm. So where are those other 800 going to go?
Well, I believe that over time that other properties in downtown will redevelop. They'll, you know, some of these single-story buildings will actually tear them down and redevelop those because they see that there's a higher and best use for that property. Mm-hmm. There are still some, you know, large parking lots in certain areas or vacant spaces that are close by.
Yeah, there's one right across the street from us, Caddy Corner up here on Shasta and Market. It's I could see somebody developing a, you know, 3-4-story place there.
Correct.
And it's right downtown, too.
Mm-hmm. So as downtown develops and you know, investors start seeing how that model works and it actually pencils, then you're going to start seeing some of those redevelopment opportunities, I believe.
But I don't think that K2 or Brent Weaver would be building things that they didn't think was going to pencil out.
Exactly.
Well, and if from my point of view, the more private developer money that we get involved in this and the more the private ownership and just fund, regular funding, that's good for downtown. It's good for any community to not have everything grant funded. It doesn't all have to be that way. Private development is a good thing.
Exactly. And, you know, we're only a portion of that funding. I mean, they're the ones bringing in the other $100 million to really make these projects happen. And so they take the bigger risk.
Mm-hmm. So what kind of when people come to you, obviously, with all types of ideas, what do you have to do to get into it? If I come in and see you and say, hey, Steve, I've got this, you know, I want to build a six, I want to buy, build a six level multi-use building, and I've got this, I'm going to just raise this whole area here and then do it. How long does this process take if I've already got the funding?
I would say it's going to take 2 to 3 years if it's something of that nature. It
takes 6 stories because now we've got 5 stories and the next one is going to take longer.
It's gonna be bigger, single, right? I want 6. Yeah. He's got 5. I want 6.
Yeah, he wants 6.
I want to look down at him. Okay.
And, you know, and we do get those proposals from individuals and entrepreneurs and, you know, people looking at property downtown. And certainly we try to just create a partnership, see if there's a reason for a partnership or not. Mm-hmm.
Okay. The river. Mm-hmm. And it just clicked in my mind because the contracts are up, next year?
For
developing
the Park
river,
Marina.
Park Marina Drive,
correct.
And all that.
Yeah, you know, I don't really deal, you know, work much in the Park Marina area, but I believe there's actually some interest out there from the property owners and city and others trying to.
I believe there's conversations that are going on between the Kutcher family.
Well, wouldn't it fall
what
into
people
you?
Need to. But what people need to understand is that it's privately owned property.
Right.
There's been leases on it, but it's privately owned property and the private property owners are going to plan it.
I mean,
it'll actually fall more into more of a development services, public works, you know, under Larry Voppel and Lily Toy, more in that realm. I'm really more of that downtown focus.
And
it's close by, but, you know, that'll be other
stuff. Does that mean if, are you looking 10 years out right now?
Yeah, I would say that we are looking 10 years out for sure, and especially, you know, in downtown, and, you know, specifically downtown, yes.
Is there a way you can bend things so that you'd have certain things? Hey, look, we're looking for this downtown. If you do this, we can give a tax break or stuff like that.
And we don't really have any tax breaks, but we try to pair it up with other funding sources that might be available out there to help, you know, bring down the gap in some of these, you know, construction costs are up right now. And so,
And the zoning helps, I mean, and dictates in a lot of instances what is allowed.
Correct.
I mean, everything is spelled out that these certain uses are available in these areas. Mm-hmm. As an example, they couldn't come in and put in a strip club. A commercial welding business. In that area.
Right, that's more of an industrial type.
Exactly.
Are we looking at then forcing, like, say, some businesses out?
No.
Okay. You know,
all of those are grandfathered in.
Okay. I'm looking at Girlinger Steel. It's been there forever, and it's in prime area right there. So I guess if they really wanted to, they could make a killing down there if they wanted to.
They could certainly if they decided one day, hey, let's just move out of downtown. It's too congested for us or whatever, and they want to move. That, you know, there would always be an opportunity maybe to redevelop that. But, you know, Girlinger's a great downtown partner.
Of course.
We like them there.
Well, no, I understand. I just use that as an example that, you know, people are down here saying that, hey, let's just move down to Anderson and rebuild. We'll sell our property for millions of dollars and just go down to Anderson and go down there.
Yeah. You know, and in all seriousness, we talk about Reading. We've done that the whole show, but there's a lot going on in this county. Mm-hmm. City of Anderson has got a lot of building permits being pulled on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. We've got a building spurt going on. Good place to do business. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, we already went past that half cent sales tax. Got a good police force. So mm-hmm. the whole county is moving in a good direction.
Correct.
They're building everywhere. Yeah. Hey, Steve, thanks so much for being with us today. You really kind of cleared up what was going on downtown. The big thing I wanted people to understand was, you know, when we tear down the parking structure, it was with thought. It wasn't just willy-nilly. That it was, you listen to the owners of businesses and say, hey, leave us the south end at least because, mm-hmm. you know, it's close like that because there's more parking up here.
Mm-hmm.
For people. And, I mean, literally across the street parking as opposed to three blocks up parking.
Mm-hmm.
And then what it's going to look like downtown. And we're going to have Shannon Phillips in from the McConnell Foundation and also Rachel Hatch with the Community Vitality to be talking about all of these different subjects like that.
Yeah, and they have a great website also that you can go and look at the project updates. Rachel does a great job of uploading that information weekly on there. And so you go to their Community Vitality tab and look at downtown. You'll be able to get a good look at the projects that they're working on specifically.
Well, with the minute we have left, this old blue building over here that went, mm-hmm. you know, through a battle to mm-hmm. keep it. Mm-hmm. What's going to happen there?
Well, that's the McConnell Foundation project, and, mm-hmm. you know, that's where the bike depot and that is going to be starting construction very soon. And mm-hmm. so they'll be able to fill you in on how that development's going to go. But it's going to be a great addition to downtown and introducing, you know, a bike locker, bike programs, bike education.
They have in the bigger cities where you can have the bikes on all the corners and you pick them up and
they'll have it. Yeah, there's that type of facility is going to be incorporated into that. So you could maybe, you know, it's not going to be a bike shop anymore. We have great bike shops already downtown. So it's really more of that bike locker, cafe, you know,
programmatic. You can rent a bike and drive around town.
You can pick it up in one spot and then drop it off someplace else when you're done with it.
Yeah, I believe that's kind of the program. I haven't seen that portion of the program yet, but I think that's the underlying.
When she comes in, we'll be able to talk about all of that. Okay.
Exactly.
Steve, thanks so much for
being
with
us today.
Lots of
information.
Thank you for having me.
And remember, go to the City of Reading website and then go to downtown, the link to downtown, and it shows you everything that's happening, distances you have to walk, parking areas, and all of this. Don't get down on it. You know, till you look at this and you see what happens at the end of this here.
And if you do have questions, they're willing to answer them. Yeah. Give them a call.
Certainly.
Absolutely. Okay, tomorrow, Congressman Doug Amalfa will join us tomorrow, and we'll find out what his take is on what's been happening back in D.C. Everybody, hey, look, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.